Hi everybody, welcome back to Flick or Flop.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, guys. Hope you enjoyed last week's bonus episode where we discussed more TV.
Yeah.
And
we're back with movies now.
I was going to say that we're back with our regularly scheduled programming.
Right. So yes.
For some film reviews.
Right. So, oh, should we say who we are?
Well, I'm Alex.
And I'm Jeremy.
You're Jeremy Kibler.
I'm Jeremy Kibler, the Artful Critic, and you are?
I'm Alex Maynard.
And who are you? Like,
what, well, you can find me at alexmaynard.online.
Right.
If you're curious. Housing to health and happiness. Got you covered.
And a chef, too, now.
Oh my gosh, I've been whipping up some really great dishes in the kitchen lately.
I know. Ugh.
I don't mean to toot my own horn.
Wish you guys could have... wish this was in smell-o-vision. You could have smelled the ham and all the other goodies.
Yeah, usually I'm super critical over my food, but lately, it's been on point. Nothing else to do, really. So, hope you guys are coping.
Yes. Well, speaking of being critical, we will get to 3 movies today. Just want to get into it.
Yeah, so 3 films. These are all available on demand on some type of platform right now?
Yes, digital, yeah, video on demand, you know, depending on your cable provider. And probably on iTunes and maybe Amazon Video for rent.
I think a lot of people don't understand that iTunes you can rent and buy movies.
Mm-hmm.
People think that it's just podcasts and music.
Music, yeah. Oh, yeah. You can definitely do that.
And audiobooks.
All different mediums. So, I guess we'll kick it off with a movie called We Summon the Darkness. It's a horror film. It's about... it takes place in the 80s during the satanic panic time when the media would accuse heavy metal music of, you know, having satanic messaging and that sort of thing. So, it... revolves around 3, I think they're teenagers or maybe college students, I'm not really sure, but 3 young women, they're in a van making their way to a heavy metal rock concert in Indiana, and once they get to the parking lot, they quickly make friends with these 3 other guys, one of whom is played by Taylor Swift's younger brother, which I found out. So then after the concert, one of them invites... the guys back to her dad's place for an after party, and it starts out as all fun and drunken games, and then stuff starts to get weird and dark and violent. But I can't really say what that is because I feel like this movie completely hinges on that twist, and maybe that twist only. But it is fun. I thought it was fine. You caught some of this.
Yeah, I got most of it.
Yeah.
I got most of it, yeah.
There's really not much to it. So I think what you saw is when, you know, the other shoe had already dropped and you knew
I probably would have been bored leading up to that point.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of obvious what's happening, but I guess I should say who's in it. I mean, not a lot of big names, but one of them is Alexandra Daddario. She was in the Baywatch movie with Zac Efron. She got to make out with Zac Efron. She's been in some other movies, some TV shows. I really enjoyed her in this. She has these piercing blue eyes, which really helps her sell the character of Alexis in this movie. And then also she has she's joined by Maddie Hassan, I think her name is, who steals like every scene she's in. She's like the sex pod of the 3 girls, and she has like an overactive bladder. She's always having to go to the bathroom. And then the other 3 guys, they do what they need to do. Johnny Knoxville is also in this.
Yeah.
He's a very... it's like an extended cameo. But yeah, he's in this. He plays a preacher, that's all I'll say.
Yeah, I find it's so funny that that's his role.
Yeah, and it's so brief. But yeah, it is funny, like, being against type. I mean, you think of him as Jackass, or on Jackass.
Mm-hmm. You just think of him as Jackass.
Or, yeah, Jackass. So, yeah, I thought this was fun. I feel like it didn't quite take off as much as I was hoping. It takes place in one house, one floor, actually. And, but there's some tension. It just grows a little static for me. But, yeah, I still had a good enough time. So I would give it, I'd say if you had, like, pizza and beer and you can't go anywhere on the couch, I would say it's a flick.
Yeah.
Of what you saw.
So for somebody who hasn't seen it, hasn't seen any trailers, has no clue about it,
mm-hmm.
What would be some other similar movies? Like, for me, I'm trying to think of, you know, if this person likes that movie, they may like this.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that this is, like, a mix match of, it's like a pagan cult Scream meets, I'm going to say it, it's filmed like Scary Movie. Oh. Like, I don't like how it was shot at all. And then having Johnny Knoxville come in at the end,
it's not
spoof. I'm like, oh my gosh, now this is corny.
But it's not a spoof like Scary Movie, but it does have kind of a light comic tone, even though, you know, people get killed. But I do mention two other movies that this kind of reminded me of, like, from a tone perspective. But again, I don't think many people have seen those two movies. I reference a movie called Deathgasm and another movie called Lords of Chaos, which came out last year.
Okay.
Probably heard of those. Uh-uh. I also do mention Green Room, which, again, probably nobody, well, not a lot of people have seen. It's an A24 release, but that's about punk rockers versus Nazis, and similar situation. Well, I can't get into it, but it reminded me of that, where it's set in one location.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, flick for me. And yeah, as you said, it's on digital and video on demand.
I thought it was entertaining.
Yeah, it was entertaining. Yeah. I mean, I wish it were more memorable.
I like how you said pizza and wings. Yeah, I can see pizza, wings, pizza beer. You said pizza and beer. I'm thinking wings. Yeah. I love wings.
All of it. One of those, like, you know, if you could hang out with actual people, not only people that you live with, but friends, I think it'd be like one of those, you know, you don't have to pay attention to it.
You don't have to pay attention at all.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like a fun movie. And then moving on to movies that are less fun, yet are somehow getting, like, critical acclaim. It's a movie called Sea Fever. It played at one of the festivals, and I feel like all the reviews. I think it was Sundance. I can't remember. South by Southwest. I don't know.
Okay.
But I feel like whenever people see movies at a festival, again, I haven't been to a festival.
Yeah, we were talking about this. There's, like, all this, like, hype because it's an experience,
right?
Really.
It's a communal, like, you're experience. At a festival. Exactly. So, you know, everyone there is excited to see a movie, and I just feel like that energy is probably contagious.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Lots of people talking about
it. So yeah, I mean, I watched this on the TV off of a screening link, and I don't know if that had something to do with it, but anyway, I guess you should say what it's called. It's called Sea Fever. It is, I guess, an aquatic sci-fi horror drama. There's really not that much horror, and not that much drama, really. But it's about...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's about it's about this brilliant, yet socially inept marine biologist.
Uh-huh.
She's on the younger side. She hops aboard an Irish fishing boat owned by a married couple and their crew, and, you know, the crew's hoping to get, like, a catch of the day or whatever, and the marine biologist doesn't really make the best first impression. I mean, one, she's just very antisocial, but when she takes off her beanie, she reveals her red hair, and the crew is very superstitious about redheads. I guess that's like a
siren.
Yeah, yes. Like a harbinger of doom, that, yes, sort of thing. But anyway, so you have this crew, and then this, like, barnacle comes through the fishing boat, and it turns out to be, like, a parasite in the water supply, and, yeah, it's a it's a parasitic movie. You know, everyone gets infected and people survive.
Oh my gosh. So this is the one you were describing it to me, and I was like, oh, is this like a wannabe like spinoff of like Underwater? Like, it seems like a lot of people are trying to go for that right now.
It did remind me of Underwater. It also reminded me of The Thing.
What about like a mash of like Underwater and Rabid? Like, you're saying parasitic and like...
Right. Yes.
I'm like, ooh. Yes. Because I love that movie. I love Rabid.
Rabid.
I loved it.
Yeah, I didn't love this. It didn't grip me. It's from an Irish TV director, Nisa Hardiman. This is her feature debut, so it's her first film. It's very skillfully made. She has a good cast. I like the lead actress in it, Hermione Corfield. She has, you know, poise and an intelligence about her. It also has Connie Nielsen from Gladiator in it for that little star power. But yeah, I just found this, like, it's trying to be a thinking person's sci-fi movie, but I just found it very sedate and kind of plodding. It didn't grip me, and I don't know. I wanted to like it, but it needed more oomph for me. There's some gnarly, like, body horror moments, but not enough to make me want to recommend it.
Sounds like that just sunk to the bottom of the sea floor.
It just doesn't stay afloat, this movie.
Nope.
So yeah, that's a flop for me. That's also available digitally and on demand if you're...
Well, I hope that you would never seek that one out.
Right.
So who cares where that's available?
Right. So on to the third... Right.
And so we don't care about it, so good luck finding it if you're interested. Sorry for you.
Some people liked it, but yeah. Not for me.
Go see Underwater.
Right. Yeah, Underwater with Kristen Stewart.
Yes.
Yes. You can probably find that somewhere on demand,
I'm sure. Oh my god, everywhere.
Yeah.
Go find it.
So the third movie of the week, actually the best movie of the week, and you'll probably be shocked to hear
Which one's this?
What it's about. It is called Never... Rarely, Sometimes, Always.
Okay.
Yeah. Indie movie from...
A little controversial, maybe.
Yes. Yes. On paper, the subject matter is controversial, but as I'll get into it, it's not trying to be controversial. So it's an indie movie from a writer-director, Eliza Hittman. She directed this movie, another movie called Beach Rats a couple years ago about a thug who came out as gay. He was living in Brooklyn, and I really found that to be a riveting movie. But yeah, so this takes place in Pennsylvania, and and it revolves around this soft-spoken 17-year-old. Her name's Autumn. She suspects that she's pregnant, so mm-hmm. she takes a pregnancy test at a crisis pregnancy center in town, and she tests positive, and she's already made up her mind. She wants to get an abortion, but she can't get it in Pennsylvania without parental consent. So from there, she actually tries giving herself a miscarriage. And once that won't take, she confides in her cousin, Skylar, and they go off to the Planned Parenthood in New York City. And that's pretty much it, like, story-wise, but it's kind of their journey. Journey to an abortion, yes. But everything that goes into that, not even the abortion being performed, but like getting on the bus.
Life happening on the way.
The clinic back home ends up giving her a false read on how far along she is, and then she can still get the abortion in New York City, but she has to hang around in the city until like the next morning to actually get the abortion performed at a different clinic. And it's just like all this stuff, and like her cousin's like lugging around this heavy suitcase the whole time, and the men in this are actually all really sketchy types, which I found kind of interesting. Like they almost come off kind of predatory, but one ends up helping them, but he's still kind of a creep. This is a really subtle, quiet but powerful movie. Like, very natural. The two actresses in it are newcomers, Sydney Flanagan and the other one, Talia Ryder. She kind of looks like Saoirse Ronan. Ever see Lady Bird, Atonement, Saoirse Ronan? You'd recognize her. But this movie, you know, it's about teen pregnancy and it's about getting an abortion, but it doesn't try to shock you. It doesn't even give you a lot of exposition. Like, you don't know who the father of the child is. It doesn't really matter. It's all about Autumn and her journey with her cousin. And her cousin don't even really talk about the abortion. They just, I don't know, her cousin is just there for her. And there's just, like, a lot left unspoken. It's a lot of it's just inferred. And the title actually refers to the questions that she's asked, or at least the answers to the questions that she's asked. Never, rarely, sometimes, always. Think about sexual partners and everything. So, okay. Yeah, you know, this might scare people away at being about an abortion, but it's very observant, it's eye-opening, it's matter-of-fact, sensitive, tender, really worthwhile stuff, even if you're kind of, you know, not looking for this.
Why do you think that the men were portrayed to be as be creeps?
I don't
necessarily know if I like the viewpoint that the writer has in this. Like, they're it's very
right. I mean,
victim
guys,
mentality. Like, okay, yeah. So teen pregnancy, gonna go get this abortion, mm-hmm. and I'm gonna have all of these men played out to be these bad guys. It's again that, like,
yeah. I mean, it was clearly a choice. Yeah, I mean, like, Autumn has, I think I would say maybe an abusive alcoholic stepfather, and uh-huh. he's kind of, you don't know if maybe it's his baby, you're not sure.
Oh, gosh.
They don't really allude to that, but you're not sure. I don't know, there's just tension between Autumn and the stepfather. And then, like, she works at a grocery store, and one of the customers is kind of, like, skeevy, like, talking about, I don't know, asking her out to a party, and he's much older than her. And then there's a guy on a bus that ends up actually helping them out because they start running out of money because, you know, they have to stay in New York City longer than they were expecting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's a hopeful movie. It's not preachy and it's not judgmental. You know, the women at the clinic in Pennsylvania do show Autumn an anti-abortion video, and they give her pamphlets, you know, just to maybe change her mind, but they're never portrayed in, like, a caricatured way, you know, like, they don't have, like, signs saying you're going to hell or anything. But, yeah, this is worthwhile. It's a small movie. You know, I think people should check it out. And it's available digitally for rent. For $20. This is one of the movies.
Oh, okay. So, like, if you have Xfinity,
right.
Comcast,
yeah.
Atlantic Broadband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fios, what, those things.
Any of those. You name it. Yep. So, yeah, this is a flick from me. Yes.
So, two flicks this week.
Two flicks and a flop.
So, We Summon the Darkness.
We Summon the Darkness.
It's entertaining.
It's fun. Grab a beer. Sea Fever. You can skip it.
Go see Underwater instead.
Go see Underwater or see The Thing or any other movies that came out before that. And then Never, Rarely, Sometimes, Always. So, yeah.
Still don't know how I feel about that material.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited for the bonus episode of Tiger King. I don't know.
Yes.
Last week, we did a whole episode about TV.
Right. Smaller medium.
They blessed us with another episode,
right,
of that shit show train wreck.
40 more minutes of wonderful trash.
I know, going right into it, I'm gonna be bummed because I know what Jeff Lowe is doing.
Right,
he's continuing to frame Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes, listen, Joe, not a good guy, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, something wrong with him.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
But he's not completely guilty in, like, all of these things.
Right. They are all
like, I don't
guilty.
Know why. Like, I feel for him.
Yeah.
Like, as bad of a person as he is, I feel for him.
Right. How do you feel about Carol? She did it.
Sardine oil. All I'm gonna say.
Need I say more?
That's all I'm gonna say. So maybe like Carol and Joe need to flip flop for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like he needs to come out, put him on probation for a little bit, keep an eye on him, lock her up.
Maybe we'll have to talk about that bonus episode maybe next week if we don't have too many movies to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if we like the episode.
Right.
But,
yeah. Oh, and Schitt's Creek, miss it. Oh, anyway, yes. Okay. I'm going away from movies and into TV. We gotta end this.
We gotta end this. All right. Bye, guys.
Love you lots. Happy Easter.